So we are going to continue the series Heroes, and the reason that I wanted to continue the series Heroes is because in heaven, the Bible says there are all these great giants of the faith, and in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all these heroes, the Heroes Hall of Fame. It's name after name of just ordinary people who were put in extraordinary circumstances like we are, and they did extraordinary things by having faith in God, but not just faith in God, not just loving God, but also taking action, stepping forward and being used by God in a mighty way. And so it says in 12:1, it says, therefore, all these people are there, and don't just admire them, but they have a role in your life. In fact, it says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. For instance, Moses, who delivered the children of Egypt out of this horrible peril, Abraham and the Apostle Paul, who went through immense persecution. That they're all going through, they all went through persecution and hardship, and they're all watching us in our race today and what we're going through. And so since they're there and cheering us on through every peril that we might go through, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders, because there are some hindrances to our life race right now. I hope you know, I don't know if you know that. But, and then it says, also, the sin that so easily entangles, let it go so that we can run our race. You see, we're still here. We have a race that we are running, and so that we can run it, we should run it with perseverance, the race that's marked out for us. So they're there. They're in the stands, and they're cheering us on. And that's encouraging because they have been through life-offering or altering, nation-altering circumstances. They've been through that before, and they've come out the other side. The Bible says that they're cheering us on. And I don't know if you've ever heard the crowd cheering at a sports event. Well, that's encouraging. But what's even motivating is if they could actually tell us something. And what would be valuable about their advice is they're already done and they've succeeded. And we're still in the game right now. I mean, but the jury is still out about how well you and I are going to finish. But the idea is that instead of just hearing the crowd, what would it be like to pull out these giants of the faith one by one? What if they came out and these individual heroes and they took a lap with us in our race? And what would they say to us? What would they encourage us with? So we're bringing them out of the stands one at a time, and we're trying to condense their story down into one thought that might inspire us and keep us running with purpose, with faith, so that we can win the race that's set out before us. And so our hero today is Esther. It's going to be great. If Esther was here and she could take a lap with us right now with what we're going through, I think this is what she would say to us. I think she would say that when your future is uncertain, I think she would say to us that when our future is uncertain, that's when God wants to use you. Let me say it again. I believe that she would tell us that when our future is uncertain, when the atmosphere around us is uncertain and we're not sure what's going to happen, that's the time when heroes step up. And that's the time when God takes the purposes of our life and he begins to put us into play. And I want to jump straight into the story, Esther chapter 2. It says that there was a Jew that lived in the palace complex in Susa. His name was Mordecai. And then it tells all of his parents. And it says that his ancestors had been taken from Jerusalem in exile and carried off with King Jehoiakim of Judah, along with King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and taken into exile. And so at this point, everybody, all the Jews, had been moved out of their home and moved into exile. And Mordecai had reared his cousin Esther, and it says that she had no father or mother, but she had a good figure and a beautiful face. And after her parents had died, it says that Mordecai adopted her. So here's Esther, following her people and her culture, and they have been completely exiled. They're living in a country that's not their own. She's living with a cousin because her parents have died. And so extreme hardship and peril had come to not only her, but her entire nation. And I don't know if you realize this, but what we are going through is not just the not just our nation, but the whole planet is one of the biggest events in an entire generation, and maybe even more. And I understand that we're not sure what tomorrow brings. For me, this is something that every day I get up and I remind myself that when my future is unsure, that is when God wants to use me most. And you'll find that this is actually part of this Esther story, is that you and I, we were born for such a time as this, that I am here right now with purpose. And I want you to hear this, that if you feel overwhelmed or you feel like you're not sure, you know, what the future holds, you feel like maybe you're Esther, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and he wants to use you in the middle of all this. David said in Psalm 33:11, he says this, he says, "The plan of the Lord stands firm." How long? Forever. "The purposes of his heart through all generations." There has never been a generation, nor will there ever be a generation, that God is not working his purposes in, and we have not been left out. For me, I have not been left out. God has a plan for me in this day and in this situation. And what I want to do is I want to help you find your place and your destiny in this situation and in this place that we're at now as we study Esther. I think that she can speak to us very clearly because she could relate to us. And I think that Esther would know that finding your purpose in the midst of hardship and uncertainty requires faith and trust. There's always going to be uncertainty in our lives. And it'll be like that until we stand next to Jesus face to face. I think Esther would tell us that finding how God wants to use us in the midst of uncertain times is going to require faith and is going to require trust as well. So then in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other woman. She won his favor and approval more than any other of the virgins. And so he set a royal crown on her head and he made her queen." So here's this moment. They had a beauty contest. The previous queen had disobeyed the king. And so he disregarded her and he holds this beauty contest and he wants the prettiest girl to be his bride. And Esther wins the contest. And this can be confusing because you could think, well, hey, maybe that's her purpose, is maybe just to be pretty for the king. But it wasn't. God had so much more for her. I mean, she won this beauty contest only to realize that God had so much more for her other than that. See, when you feel like you're underestimated, when people put you in a box and they tell you what you are or what you're not, God has a bigger plan for you. Because you're here in this time and in this moment right now for a reason. You have a purpose and a destiny. You see, faith is believing that God is working in your current circumstance on your behalf. And trust is knowing that he's going to be true to his promises to you in every circumstance and every situation. And I want to let you know that you're not going to find that destiny and that purpose if you're not willing to have some faith and trust in God. I want you to know that Esther would say, "I don't think that it's happenstance that you're here, that you're just dust in the wind, that I think that God put you here for a reason, right now, for a purpose." Psalm 31 says this, David said, "I trust in you, O Lord, and I say that you are my God, and my times are in your hands." You see, David had the faith and trust that God was taking care of him and working in his life. Something else that Esther realized was that finding your destiny in the midst of peril will always require courage. I mean, there's going to be this moment where all the hardship or all the uncertainty shows up, and you're going to have to figure out how to overcome that fear. You see, courage is not that you never get tempted with fear. Courage is taking the fear that attempts to grab a hold of your heart and converting it into faith. I mean, we talked about how to do that last week. So if you didn't see last week, go to our YouTube page and check out the message called Fear Not from last week. But we take our fear and we turn it into faith. And then we also put action to that faith. And we take courageous action. I mean, it's stepping up to the edge and saying, listen, I'm going to go. I'm going to trust. I know that he's got a plan for me. I know that I can run after him, and I know that I can help other people. And so the story goes that this guy, Haman, he has this huge issue with Esther's uncle, Mordecai, who adopted her. And he had such an issue with her, with him, that he decided he was going to trick the king into killing all the Jews. So the king passes a law that says on a certain day, anyone can kill all of the Jews. So Mordecai comes to Esther and he says, do you have any idea what's going on? Do you know the situation? I mean, here she is. She just won the beauty contest. She's in the king's palace. She's a princess. And Uncle Mordecai comes in and says, hey, if you don't step up, we're not going to make it. All of the sudden, placed on her shoulders is this huge responsibility for all of her people. Listen to the words that Mordecai says to her. He says, do not think, Esther, that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from somebody else, but you and your father's family, you will perish. And then Mordecai tells Esther this amazing line that maybe if you're not a Christian or you don't know this story, you've heard this line before that Mordecai tells Esther, but maybe you didn't realize that it came from the Bible. But he gives her a challenge. He challenges her with the very reason for her existence. And this is what he says. And who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? It's one of the most famous lines out of the book of Esther, that for such a time as this, she was placed in that moment, in that time, to be there to help other people. Not to get sucked into fear for herself and her own family, but to be smart, to be wise, and to be brave. And right now, with what we're going through, listen, I'm not talking about braving the virus and possibly getting it and spreading it around. I'm not talking about being flaky with your faith. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that it's going to require courage in order to get over that moment where your knees are knocking and you've got to trust that God's going to work out for us, that we could be there for other people. I love this verse out of Psalm chapter 41. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a great picture of our Father. Have the courage to be thinking about other people and helping other people in higher love during this time. Because let me tell you, that this is probably for our nation, even as we pray and have faith that God would heal our nation. As the circumstances around us change, we have to initiate courage and higher love for each other. And I think that also that as Esther tells us that even when our future is uncertain, that God wants to use us, I think also part of that is that being used of God in the midst of uncertainty requires great focus on God. When you start talking about our purpose, there's this sense that it starts to feel about like it's all about us. I mean, after all, it's our purpose, so shouldn't it be about us? But I think Esther would tell us that it's going to require us to take our eyes off of ourselves and focus on God and His purposes, because each and every one of our purposes is, even though we own it, it's actually given to us for the benefit of other people. I mean, look at what Esther did. Chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, then Esther replied to Mordecai. She said, go gather all the Jews and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maids, we're going to fast with you as you do. And here's what she did. Instead of saying, listen, I'm in this palace and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, instead of turning away from God and her purpose, she turned her attention toward God and others. And I want you to know there's this process of discovering of what God did or has for you on the inside of you, and it feels inward. But there's a point that you have to stop looking at yourself and start looking at God and the people that He has for us to help. He has a destiny that he placed on the inside of you and everything that you need so that you will look to him to discover how to help others is on the inside of you. But we've got to turn our attention toward God and the people that he's called us to help. Please don't get distracted with yourself. We can't do that, or we miss the fact that the promise is from God, but for others. That we're made in his image, and his heart is that all men be saved, and his heart is that all men be delivered. And we are supposed to be his hands and his feet, which brings us to the next thing. If we're going to do what God has for us to do, the destiny that he's given us, if we're going to fulfill it, even in uncertainty, then it's going to require great initiative on our part. There's going to come a moment when we're going to have to take that big leap. We're going to have the courage in our heart to focus on God and his people, but we're also going to have to step out. You see, nobody else can fulfill your purpose because it's your purpose. Nobody else can take these steps for you because you've got to do it. Sometimes we've just got to step back and look at the big leap and just say, you know what? I'm going to do it, God. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, here's her words. She said, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. If I perish, I perish. I mean, listen to her resolve and initiative. The clarity that came from focusing on God and God's people, and she was there. I mean, she put aside all worry, and she put aside all of what it would look like, and Jesus said, if I die, then I die. And I mean, there's some of us that are saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to have enough food, and I don't know if I'm going to have enough money. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough toilet paper. All these questions. And yet, there are people all around us. They're going to need us. I mean, this is tough now, and they're telling us that it's going to get much worse. And we are born for such a time as this. There are going to be people around you, people in your congregation, elderly, your neighbors. They're going to need us to help us. A, by not spreading the virus, but also by reaching out and being generous, helping other people. That's why we're giving you all the opportunities to help that we are, because we are here as a church to be a light and to take initiative in the lives of other people. Winston Churchill was a great leader who was faced with great opposition. I found this quote from him, and I love to tell it to you. He said, in every age, there comes a time when a leader must come forward to meet the needs of the hour. And therefore, there is no potential leader who does not have an opportunity to make a positive difference in society. And he says, tragically, there are times when a leader does not rise to the hour. And he says that it is a tragedy that when there's an opportunity in front of us to go after what God has placed out there, that is our own purpose, that we don't take initiative to jump out there and to help others. He says, have the faith and trust in God. Have courage. Focus on God. Take initiative. And don't put the focus on yourself. Take this step. And when you do that, you'll find that after you take this step, that he'll be there with you in every situation. He's going to take care of you in the moment. He's working in you on your behalf. I mean, think about it. Esther learned that even when things are uncertain and you want God to use you, you've got to just stay steady. Romans 8:28 is a great verse. It says that we know that in all things that God works for the good of those that love him and have been called according to his purposes, his purpose. We can't ever forget that God wants to turn the bad stuff around. And focusing on him, even when you're focused on him, and I mean, maybe you make a mistake, he'll take that mistake pretty much all the time. And if you stay focused on him, he is amazing at making lemonade out of lemons. He knows how to make the best out of a bad situation. So stay focused on him. And I think Esther understood that when we realize God's purpose for our life, that we would feel empowered. See, a lot of you, maybe you feel a little bit out of control, like you don't have any power over your life right now because of all this stuff, and it can tend to bring anxiety. I'm telling you that there is going to be a power on the inside of you when you realize your purpose in this moment, that you do have control, that he has given you an initiative and a purpose, and that you were born for a time like this. That you have the means to reach out and help other people, that he wants you to make a difference in the lives of people, and he's created you to do that. I mean, the Bible says that God has placed spiritual elements in us. He's empowered us for great works. All he wants us to do is to walk in us. Acts 2:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing everybody who was under the power of the devil because, and this is important, God was with him. And then Jesus handed that over to us with his death, burial, and resurrection. That not only was God with Jesus, but now God would walk with us, that the Holy Spirit would walk with us. You see, you are not here in this time and in this place by accident. You were born for such a time as this. God has you right where you are, and he has a great plan for you in the midst of all of this uncertainty.